Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation's a funny thing, isn't it? All right. Somebody says to you, what's salvation? Yeah, that's a good question. I've got to go to Publix and get some salvation after church. What department is it in again? Yeah, the sinner's department. Steve, that was pretty good. Well, what do we have to do to get it? Let's see, I got $100 in my billfold, I wish. Will that be enough for my salvation? No, can't buy it. So what does it mean for our daily lives? Well, there's the question, isn't it? Our epistle touches on this today. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. So I guess we're supposed to walk as Jesus walked, following his example. Simple, isn't it? Well, I think so too. But are there Christians who claim to be Christians, but in their hearts, they really aren't? Of course. Question is, why is that the case? Well, we've all known people like this. We all know the people who go to church and sing the loudest and pray the loudest on Sunday, and on Monday, they stick it to their neighbor, right? You know, what can I do to get even with him? What can I do to get some more money? Or there's people that are really great telling us what to do, but then they go and do the opposite. So it's do what I tell you to do, not what I do. Sounds like our parents, doesn't it? Well, my sermon today is on those people, the would-nots, okay? Those that take a great walk, but they don't do it when the chips are down. To set this up, I'm going to go back a few verses in our gospel reading today. From chapter 13, 24 to 30, six verses beforehand. No, it's not your bulletin. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And then he will answer you, I do not know where you came from. And then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You've heard that verse a lot, haven't you? When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves will be cast out. Just a little bit of law in this, isn't there? And people will come from the east and west and from the north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. How many times have you quoted that verse yourself? Because I know I have. Last will be first, and the first will be last. As I was preparing for this, many of you know that I like the commentary by Reverend Dr. John Gill, who was a Baptist theologian in England around 1750. And the thing I like about him is his theology is really crisp and clear. But he writes this about that bit of scripture. Notice here the inward movement and the outward effect of the gospel, where it enters us and what it makes us do, whether in the heart or in the world of men. the garden and the kitchen, the lives of men and women, respectively yield that same lesson. Because you act on what's in you. Though the seed of the divine nature is sown in secret, it cannot remain secret. But it works its ways into manifestation. Man's method is from without inward. God's from within outward. You cannot estimate the results when the little child receives the incorruptible seed. Inward movement, outward effect. He's talking about baptism, isn't he? What happens during baptism? The Holy Spirit enters us in secret. We don't see it. But we see its effect, don't we? Okay, and how we act. Well, but even in the Christian, can't this be rejected? We all know people like that. We all know ourselves who have done it at times. Dr. Gill says, it cannot remain secret, but it works its ways into manifestation, which means it appears and shows itself. We all want this, don't we? Well, I think so. All right. Well, anyway, Luke goes on to explain how really difficult this is, and that's Jesus talking. Put the entrance into the full power and blessedness by Christ is by a narrow way. What does Jesus mean when he says, it's by a narrow way? It means you follow Jesus, right? Okay, you don't follow Herb over here, or Isaac over here. No, you don't take the easy way. You gotta follow Christ, that's the hard way. But yet when we do it, is it really all that hard? No, but it's gotta come from within, doesn't it? The drive has to be here. But that entrance into the full power and blessedness of Christ is by that narrow way. The gate's open to all, isn't it? But it means we have to deny and leave behind all that is carnal, all that is good and bad in the estimate of men. In other words, what people think are good and bad is not important. It's what God thinks. So that the divine life might have the entire field in our lives. I like what he said about merely to eat and drink in Christ's presence betrays a self-indulgent which is foreign to his spirit. Right, he's talking about communion. You may sit at the Lord's table and yet be a worker of iniquity. In other words, you sin. You're a sinner sitting there. But yet we're all sinners, right? But the thing is, remember, going through the catechism, we have omission and commission. Okay, the ones you do on purpose, you know. But sometimes you sin and you didn't mean to. But the worker of iniquity is one that comes to the table knowing he's a sinner and he doesn't care. That's what the scripture is talking about. In our gospel reading for the day, Jesus laments these people who have joined the family, but would not follow his teachings. We're bringing the wood knots back in again. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to us. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Boy, that sounds like that could be an Advent reading, doesn't it? Because he's talking about the second coming. Well, why is this a Lent reading? Okay. Remember, Advent and Lent originally were the same thing. 40 days. And what does 40 mean in the Bible? Introspection and trial. Anytime we see that. All right, Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days. Lent is 40 days. Advent was 40 days. Of course, we shorten it now because people don't want to spend 40 days on Advent. But when you look at this time, the trial and introspection, we look at ourselves. Well, so what is our trial? do right until Jesus comes again, isn't it? His second advent, and that's the end time when he returns for judgment. He who comes in the name of the Lord. As I was doing some study on this, it's funny how research takes you. But I was taken to the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism of all places. And it's a commentary on Hebrew scriptures by the Jews themselves. But the Jewish theologians brought up a word that I really liked. It's Shekinah. Shekinah. Isn't that a cool word? Shekinah. It's the covering of the wings of the divine presence. Remember, we've all seen pictures of the Ark of the Covenant. What's on the top of the Ark of the Covenant? The two angels. With what? Their wings. Okay. It's the covering and protection of the wings of the divine presence. What was in the Ark? Divine presence. Okay, you see where I'm getting at on this? Shekinah. Turn page. When we become Christian, does the divine presence lead us, comfort us, and protect us? Through what? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And yes, Betty, it is faith. But faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. But as humans, don't we have the power to accept or reject that? There's where the trial comes from. Does it happen to good people? Sure does. Bible's got a great story in that. David and Bathsheba. David, one of the strong people of God, okay, has Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed so that he can have fun time with Bathsheba. Did he sin on purpose?
No.
Oh, sure he did. Did he realize it? Yeah, he did. Did he ask for forgiveness? Yes. Prophet Nathan comes to him. What does the prophet Nathan say? You're forgiven. God forgives all if you ask for it. However, you've got to pay the penalty. And the penalty was the death of their firstborn son. You know, the thing is that when we do things wrong, we know that. And yeah, we are freely forgiven. But it's just like if we murder somebody, you can be forgiven, but don't you still have to go to jail? You know, there's still a penalty for our behavior. But the thing is, salvation, we're coming back to that, is so easy to obtain. Just listen to Jesus and do what he tells you to do. Do what your heart tells you that you know is right. It's not hard. Although we make it hard, don't we? Why do we do that? Boy, oh boy, that's one of those things I just don't know. But the thing is, we always have hope. Remember the word epistle is epis? That's why I use epistle. What does epis mean in Greek? Hope. So Paul's letters, all those are hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ, and we await the day of his return, don't we? So what do? Is it expediency? Is it the things, oh boy, I want that right now. Well, I shouldn't do that, but boy, I want it right now. So you go do it. We got scales, right? All right, so there's that expediency over here. Here's the salvation over here. Let's see. This is eternal. This is right now. Let's see, where do we... Oh. Now, it goes this way, doesn't it? Okay? Isn't that what we want? Is that expedient? Not the expediency, but the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think so. And when we see Jesus warning us in Scripture, should we take that to heart? Yeah, I think so. But we're all like that, aren't we? I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that to somebody. Why did I do that? Remember Herkel?
Yes.
Did I do that? Well, I could go on and on with that, couldn't I? And so how do we make amends for those things? Repent and ask for forgiveness. First of all, remember what the Bible tells us about our offering. If we have a problem with our brother, we leave our offering in front of the altar and we go and clean up the problem with the brother first. Are we going to offend people? Yes. You go say, I didn't mean it. Then it's up to them. But remember, unless forgiveness flows out of you, you're not totally forgiven, right? Is there that caveat with God? Not really. God just forgives. All you got to do is ask for it. But you got to mean it in your heart, doesn't it? And what happens is that forgiveness is freely given as long as you truly have remorse for what you did. So, it boils down, are you a would or a would not? Where do you want to be on the last day when the trumpet sounds? I think we know that. May this blessing and salvation keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. Amen.